We're going to show you how to get organized with iOS.
I'll show you how a simple alligator pear can take you on an adventure.
Before I round things out with a one-tap way to make your photos new again.
It's time for iOS Today. Jazz hands. iOS Today comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees LastPass? And sure they are, by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remotely. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by Raycon. Raycon's wireless earbuds are perfect for conference calls, video calls, music, or binging podcasts. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Go to buyraycon.com/iOS. You'll get 15% off your order right now. And by Mint Mobile. They provide the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything's online. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month with their 3-month introductory plan, and you'll get the plan shipped to your door free at mintmobile.com/iOS. Hey, I have, before we get into the show, well, hi, everybody. Sorry, hi. It's just a chance for me and what's his name to catch up. Micah is my fashion guy, okay? And you've told me before that I should not wear black with navy. You call that blavy.
Blavy, correct.
But I am wearing gray with navy, which would be gravy. Is that okay?
Gravy is gravy. Gravy is very good. In fact, blue and gray is one of my favorite color combinations when it comes to fashion.
Except like it's now the blue and the gray were the Civil War opponents.
True.
The blue of the Union troops, the gray of the rebels. So I didn't really want to symbolize the Civil War in my outfit. I'm just going for color combinations. But gravy gravy's okay. It's blavy that you want to stay away from.
So the reason why is because navy blue is awfully close to black.
It's too close.
Yeah. And so it ends up, it's just... It
makes the eye vibrate.
It does make the eye vibrate. Yeah. And this is the thing, is that other blues you can pull off, black and a really good royal blue or a lighter blue.
Yeah.
And honestly, we've stopped being bothered by black and brown. But
I was taught as a youth never to combine black and brown, but now it's fashionable.
I can't do it.
Me neither.
That's that old soul, I guess.
You're older than you. Yeah. Yeah. But gray and navy is
gray and navy.
Okay.
It is great.
I have to remember that.
So
okay.
Keep that. There you go. You've got the mnemonic now.
Okay. Enough personal talk. What is the subject of the day today, Mr.
Today's
Micah
subject,
Sargent?
You know, I thought, hey, we're all scattered with all the different things that we're doing.
Yes.
And so why not look at some ways to help us organize using our iOS devices? So this is Get Organized with iOS.
You'd think, given that we're all at home so much, that we would be organized, right? We have plenty of time to put stuff in drawers and
you would think
tighten up our closet space, but no.
No, because we're all experiencing a certain level of trauma. That is just the state of things. That is the way that things are because of what we're dealing with. And so oftentimes our brains will look for things it can do to sort of take some of that trauma and not have to deal with it, to sort of reduce the pain, as it were. And one of the first things that often ends up going whenever we do start to experience trauma are those organizational aspects, are those means of continuing to, unless you use that naturally as a coping mechanism, those are the things that usually go first.
Yeah. For instance, I've been locked in this studio for 96 days. Not what, who's counting. And actually, it's 96 days and 4 hours. But who's counting? this place has turned into a pigsty. Because I've just, nobody comes in here. So it's just me.
No one's in there. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how, that's my thought about my office. If I were to sort of peek around in different places, there's just, you know, I've gotten new devices to review and things like that. And
you just throw them over there.
Endless supply of hats that are stacked in the corner.
Exactly. The other day, Burke says, the ladders is still in your office. You haven't put it away. And the ceiling tile that you moved to rewire the converter, that's still down. And I see some insulation. I say, yeah, because I don't want to have to put it all up again if I have to get up there again in a few months. So I just left it. If anybody else were in here, I'd worry about them hitting the ladder or something. If we had guests in here, I wouldn't leave the ladder up. But it's just me.
Yeah, and who else comes into this office? My dogs occasionally, but they don't care. So we're good.
Organized. Let's get organized.
Oh, yeah. Let's get organized.
Now, what's interesting is you and I took different approaches to this.
Yeah.
What are we organizing is the first question. What are we organizing?
Well, and that's the thing is that get organized is such an open topic because there's so many different things that you can organize in your life. And so I kind of like that we took two different takes where I'm sort of talking about placing things into an organizational system, whereas get organized for you might mean getting organized with your finances or I guess cataloging your wine library. We'll see. That's a little bit of a spoiler. Yeah. So let's start with the first one that you had, because I think this is an app that everybody should check out at the very least.
There are a couple of apps. So in the early days of personal computing, I was just talking to – was it Phil Libin? Yeah, I think it was, of Evernote. There were two things you would do. You got I'm talking like the Tandy, you know, TRS-80 or the, you know, your Commodore computer, your very first computer. There were really two things we did with our personal computers. One of them was balancing your checkbook. Like, that was the thing they said, you can balance your checkbook at home. Like, that's really kind of dopey. I forgot what the other one was. Make spaghetti. I don't know. But the balancing your checkbook meant that you would initially hand enter. You'd get your statement from the bank, hand enter everything from the bank. And I think the rationale was, what if the bank made a mistake? But in 40 years of entering checking information, I've learned one thing. The bank never makes a mistake. And if it does, it fixes it.
Yeah.
So it's not really to check that. What it really is to budget, to keep track of spending, to see what you spend money on, that kind of thing, to be more aware of it. And I guess there's value to hand entering it. You certainly are aware of every transaction.
But yeah, painfully aware.
Well, you know, we got checking accounts, credit card accounts. So there's a lot of data entered these days. The next generation of Microsoft Money or Intuit's Quicken was to download it from the bank. And, you know, that saved time, but it still was a bit of a process. Eventually people realized, you know, why download it from the bank by hand? Why not just let a program do that all for you? And as a result, Intuit bought a company called Mint that does that. There's others. There's they used to be a sponsor, an investment company, Personal Capital, that does a very similar thing. It will connect up with your bank accounts, your credit card accounts, your investment accounts, and give you graphs and information and budgeting information. I actually like Personal Capital. I would recommend that. Both of them are free, so you could try both of them. The one thing that stopped me when I first started using Mint, and this was way back when it first came out, was the notion that I have to give them my passwords to my bank account and all that stuff. That slowed me down. What encouraged me and eventually convinced me is they use the same back end the bank does, Plaid or something similar.
Yeah.
Plaid. And as a result, they didn't use Plaid at first. They used another system, but it was the same one, bank back end. As a result, they already have your password in effect. So you're not really giving them anything they don't already know. And I don't think it's – I really don't think it's a security issue. If you trust your bank, you can trust Mint. If you trust personal your bank, you can trust Personal Capital. I'm going to show you Mint. They're basically the same. This is from Intuit. So as a result, you know, it's kind of familiar. Oh, let's let it use Face ID. You certainly want to keep this secure because – You know, the whole idea of Mint is that everything is in here. Now, how do they make money on it? Well, you should be aware. They make money by suggesting credit card deals and other things. Here's one that's hysterical. Refinancing may lower your monthly payments. According to Quicken Loans, rates for 30-year fixed mortgages are now 4.250%. That's at least a quarter of a percent more or more below your rate. Well, it would be if I had a mortgage, but I don't have a mortgage. So this is just an ad. It's, you know, in they pretend it's tied to your spending and what you're doing, but it's just an ad that's going to bring you to Quicken Loans, which was our sponsor for a long time, Rocket Mortgage. So just to be aware of that, you know, that's how they're making money. And honestly, I don't find that nefarious. Oops, do my Face ID. I don't find that nefarious. As long as you understand, you always want to know when something's free. Well, how do they make money, right? So that's how they make money is with – and these are not big ads. You could see, for those who aren't watching, this is just a little – it's in my kind of reminders thing. It's just a little info alert. Then there's some nice ones. We saw you paid off your account with Barclays Bank. Nice job. I like that. And then there's some not so nice ones. Over budget, high spending, that kind of thing. So you can see there's categories. There's shopping.
Oh, this would just make me kind. I think I might just feel really guilty.
Yeah. And by the way, these numbers, don't pay any attention to these numbers, folks. Because I just there's reasons for why these numbers are so large. I haven't just bought a lot of stuff. Well, I have. But okay. So what it's doing is it did try to categorize. Notice there's clothing. That part of the wheel here. This is electronics and software. This is other. And then this is just generic shopping. And that's part of the problem is that the transaction. Isn't this cool? Isn't this nicely done?
That's cool.
The transactions, they couldn't categorize. So I can actually press the button and go to the transactions and say, oh, yeah, that's software. Oh, yeah, that's – well, oh, I think a lot of them were Amazon, so they don't know. Amazon's not giving them the detail to know what that is. In fact, most of them – that's probably why it was yellow, because it was Amazon. I'll go back and show you some more fun stuff. You have uncategorized, so you might want to go through those. And they give you ways
to
categorize them. It's one $3,000 transaction. Oh, I know what that is. That was maybe that's why it thinks I have a high mortgage. That was actually rent. So, but not for me.
Right.
Yeah. So not my.
You're renting your own house
and actually,
to yourself.
That's why this is a little confusing because. A lot of business transactions are in here as well. So because my credit card, we use my credit card for Twit. So that's why this don't pay too much attention to the actual numbers. There's business stuff mixed in. I could change that, but it's nice. This is all the budgeting. You can set a budget if you want. It does this automatically. So essentially what I've done is I've connected my accounts to the pay off, cut down your bills, paying off debt. You could create a goal. Look at that. I would like to make a goal to have less debt so I can crush credit card debt or conquer my loans, that kind of thing. It also automatically downloads this stuff from the banks, from the credit cards. You can add all of your accounts. I even have accounts, most of my accounts, in fact, with two-factor. They've handled that for a while. It didn't do very well with two-factor, but now it does a very, very good job with two-factor. Here we're keeping track of my retirement. You're doing a great job saving this month, and then it'll tell you where your retirement is. And I can even add a retirement goal, which is nice. This is the same crush credit card debt, but there's also save. Boy, that rainy day came, and we found out people hadn't been saving for a rainy day, had they? So maybe from now on, you're going to try to do what they always say, have 3 months' salary. Well, we've run through our 3 months' salary, so maybe that's part of the problem. Conquer my loans, prepare for retirement, save for college. So take a trip, buy a car, improve my home. So this helps you plan for the future, which is really nice. I think this is everything that you would get from a budgeting thing. Look, I even have a credit score, which is kind of handy.
So right in the app?
Right in the app.
I didn't know it did that.
This is using the TransUnion Vantage score, which, weirdly enough, tracks exactly with the FICO score. But they won't tell you what your FICO score is. So consider this similar to your FICO score. Not exactly, but similar. So all of that is really handy. This is, frankly, everything you wanted from doing all that hand entry in Quicken or in Microsoft Money. But you get it without any effort at all. Periodically, I'll have to go in and they'll say, oh, you need to fix up an account. Because my bank, for instance, after 30 days says, I'm not going to, you know, you have to re-up. I'm not going to let you keep downloading transactions. So every month or so, I'll go through and a couple of accounts will be severed. I'll reattach them. That's fine. But I don't spend any time downloading. Data entry, zero. But I do get to see a really great view of what I've been spending, what I set goals, where I would like to save more. I think this is fantastic. I really
do.
And it really replaces that need. So there's Mint. Mint and Personal Capital, which is very similar. It's a little more investment focused because it's an investment company. They make their money, Personal Capital does, by convincing you to use their services to buy stocks and do wealth management. So it's a different model, but the same idea. They're very subtle in their ads. It's not bad. And I think the information you get is fantastic. So if you're focused on investments and doing better with your investments, Personal Capital will give you the similar information, but maybe more investment focused. If you're just trying to budget, get your house in order, Mint is an excellent choice.
Very cool.
Your turn.
Yeah, so the app I'll talk about first is called Sortly.
Sortly. Sorta.
Yeah, exactly. Sortly is an app that lets you organize and tabulate and control your inventory. The interesting thing is that it works as both a personal inventory management system and a professional inventory management system. So there is an option to have this for businesses. This has some loaded up examples just so you can see how it works. So the fact that there's $11,000 of total value in this inventory, that is if you had it as a business set up. But what's cool is that this is a really good tool if you are, I think about folks who have, you know, renter's insurance or homeowner's insurance or personal property insurance or those kinds of things where you need to get an estimated value of the items in your home and be able to have the proof that you own those items so that if you ever needed to reclaim them in that way, then you would be able to. But also for moving, to have a box with, you know, your office stuff in it and know that all of the products, all of your stuff is in there whenever it gets moved to the new place. So this is your basic dashboard to see some of this stuff. And what we can do is, you know, I'll tap on, for example, this coffee mug and we can, where is the zoom in button? Oh, crud. They've updated this since I last used it now. Oh, there we go. Edit. So an individual item like this coffee mug, which is at Twit. I was taking a photo of this just so that you could see.
Do you
see.
Want it back? Because we can free your coffee mug.
It's been in the dishwasher so much that the label's almost completely worn off. But you can add multiple photos to
it. What was on that label? What was it?
I don't know.
So I like it. The only name you have for it is Old Coffee Mug.
You could put in, I guess it's a 50 cents value. but look, you can add custom tags.
I'm so glad you got that. Now, see, this way that could go in your will.
Exactly.
Leave it to your children. My old coffee mug. Dad's old coffee mug.
And then this is the thing that I think is very cool. You can create custom QR labels and barcodes for these items. And what you would do is if you had an inventory system, say you were in IT and you had, you know, your company's handing out a bunch of computers, you could make custom labels for the items, print those out. It lets you choose, you know, US letter, A4 sheet or label printer. You can choose, you know, the sizes and all that kind of stuff and then print those out affix them to the item, and then use Sortly to scan the barcode, pull it back up. This app works on both iPad, on all iOS devices, iPadOS devices, but also online, so you can access this stuff on the web. So it makes it very easy to keep track of if, say, there was a Dell XPS older laptop in your setup, and it has, you know, all the different stuff in here, including the serial numbers and all of the bits and pieces, so that that way you can keep track of them. But again, the thing that I like is this idea of I've gone into the more settings. I choose create unlinked label. I create a label that I would then call, well, we'll do US letter here really quickly. Small, and then preview the label. And you can see that you can make adjustments. You can change the item name or the folder name and then print those out. And then think about how you could stick that onto the side of one of your moving boxes. And then everything, when you scan that, you can see everything that is supposed to be inside of that box. So it's just a very good way to organize your whole home and know exactly what you have, know the value of these different items, and be able to track them from place to place. Kind of lets you forget about the whole idea of when you move, you have to lose some items in the move, which seems to happen a lot. And honestly, I would benefit from doing this with some of the stuff that I have in my garage and storage, for example, because there are times where I'm going, I know I had da 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 da, and I can't seem to remember where that is. With this, I could boop, scan that label and then find that exact box where it is. So
it's a home inventory program.
Basically. It is a home inventory program.
And for insurance reasons, that's also important, because if somebody were to steal your mug and you wanted to have a claim, you would like a picture, the serial number of the mug, whatever
my
was
receipt.
On that sticker, your
receipt. The receipt if there was
to
one.
To prove the value, all that, that stuff.
Dollar value at this point deprecated over time.
Or depreciation is very important. It probably is deprecated just because it's, God knows, it's been in the dishwasher a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why you left it at Twit. Did you, when you left, when you walked out the door on whatever that was, March 17th, did you tearfully wave goodbye to your mug?
No.
You just decided, I don't care enough.
It went
to
into
pack
the,
it up.
The, yeah, I mean, I took the things home that I needed to take home, but even to this day, there are still some desk ornaments there at the
office.
Yes,
I noticed you left your Google Home with the googly eyes, but you know what? You're always welcome back. Just don't do it when I'm here.
No, exactly.
You've come and gone since. People come and go.
A couple of times. There are items that get dropped off at the studio. I got to come and get. Yeah, so we're all masked and all that jazz. I'm excited for you to talk about this next one, because this app just blows my mind. If you're going to talk about liquid text.
Yeah, and I think you might have to help me a little bit, because I don't use it on a regular basis, but I agree with you. It's really impressive. Liquid Text is a note-taking program. God knows there's plenty of them on the iPad. But this one is really cool for people who want to use the pencil in conjunction with reading long documents, annotating documents, making extracts from the documents. That's what it's really for. When you open a document, you'll see that the document is in a left frame, and you can resize these frames. The document is in the left frame, and your notes are in the right frame. It makes it very easy to select a portion of the document, drag it right over to put it in as a note. You can add comments to it. In fact, if you tap on it, you'll see you can comment, you can auto-excerpt. There's tags. You can have different colors. You can define a term if you want. So I can add, or I can look up a definition, and I can also add these comments to. So when I tap my comment, you see it's linked. There's even a little stretchy thing. I can make that comment. So if I comment on this piece of text here, well, now it's glued to the other ones. It's pretty funny. If I comment on the piece of text here, I can attach it to the comment. I can. You see, this is why they call it liquid text, because stuff
it just moves around. Absolutely.
It's really a great way to read. You know, lawyers, for instance, who have to read briefs, might use this to go through a brief, annotate it. You can share it. Multiple annotations are possible. There's a variety of tools. I actually don't use this, so I'm not a master of it. But it really gives you some amazing capabilities. Combine this with the trackpad and the keyboard and a pencil, and you really have, in many ways, the perfect way of scouring through documents. In this case, I'm reading a text on how to program, how to think like a computer scientist. And so that's a really, you know, this would be like an academic style text. And so that might be something that you would really want to have annotations for as a student. If you're reviewing contracts, you might want to have these annotations for that. So I think that's a really, this is really fabulous for all of this. I'm not sure how I get the figures. You notice I can do these, I can circle stuff to lasso it, but then I guess it doesn't, the figures, it doesn't automatically pull out. I guess I'll have to, you're the expert, aren't you? Do you use this?
No, not an expert. I ended up seeing a preview of this app.
Pretty impressive. Yeah.
And downloading it and playing around with it a little bit. I mean, you can do, I think about teachers who are reviewing students' documents, who, you know, are wanting to leave notes. I think about you can do mind maps with the thing.
Yeah.
So here it shows you've got, you know, your notes on one side, some graphs that are involved, and each of these things can be linked together with what's actually happening on the page. So if you think about students doing reviews of their own work, trying to see what is available, and then this shows draw a line with ink to connect even different documents. So you can say, hey, you know, you said this in this document, but these data points suggest that this is not the way. I mean, this is really good for doing reviews of stuff and for making sure that the communication is there in these documents. And I think that that's so cool, the way that, like, we keep talking about the liquid part of this. It really is liquid text. Yeah. It lets you just pull different parts and see different bits of – look, here we're showing dragging and dropping of different documents into one page. So that can be kind of annoying where you've got one document that –
Yeah, liquid text, it's not a document. It's a save it as a project, so you can have multiple documents in it. You can also, if you want, attach the annotations to the original source PDF. You may want to do that if it's your PDF. You may not want to. But this is the way to do research or study or review documents. It's really great.
Yeah,
and it really uses the iPad.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. An author who's, you know, trying to put together their story, and they get a PDF from one place, some photos from another, and they can open this all up in one project. They can select a bit of text that talks about it, drag it over, and connect it with other information from other documents along with the photo. And then simply tapping on those little annotations will pull them to that specific document. I mean, that is such a cool idea. And I kind of wish that I had more use for this day to day, almost, because it just seems so neat, the tools that are available here. So yeah, project managers, authors, teachers, and then, like you said, lawyers and things like that, that are going through a bunch of different briefs and making adjustments. I think that's such a cool idea.
A couple other things I really like: as a lefty, they allow you to do a left-hand layout. So if you're using the pencil and it makes sense for you to use it with your left hand, I really like that. They also have a variety of organizations. You can have a vertical as well as horizontal. So that's a nice feature too. I think that this is well thought out. When it came out, people raved about it. I think in a way, it's gotten better and better. And partly it's gotten better and better because the iPad has gotten better and better. And that's a good example of what makes a great iPad program, because it was so well designed from the beginning to use the pencil that when they added the trackpad and the keyboard, it just, it's even better, which is really, really nice. You can choose whether you want to use the pencil. You can also use your finger. Obviously not as refined, but you can. There's a little setting that'll let you change the ink to finger instead of pen. I Liquid Text, really an interesting program. It's not expensive either, is it? I can't remember.
I think it's free to download, and then if you want the pro version, it's $30 one time purchase.
Yeah, that's pretty reasonable.
I think so, for what all it does, absolutely.
Now, I mentioned when we first got personal computers, there were two things we wanted to do. One was our checking, and you have the other one.
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti. We wanted to make spaghetti. No, we wanted to keep track of our spaghetti sauce recipes.
Absolutely. So this is absolutely 1,000% stealing directly from you. You had recommended Paprika recipe manager at one point, and I
don't you love
have
it?
Downloaded it and loved it with all my heart.
It's funny because there's been a lot of evolution from personal computers on. There are formats for recipes that are interchangeable and all this stuff. There's the menu master format and so forth. And I subscribed and bought a lot of these programs. But now that I found Paprika, it's like, forget it. I'm done.
Because these days, you go and you find a recipe, and if it's not on one of those big recipe blogs, then it's going to have three pages of text that don't have anything to do really with the recipe before you finally get to the dadgum recipe at the end of the article. And that's annoying. Well, Paprika is awesome because you can go online.
It has a browser built into it.
Exactly.
I love
right
that.
There.
Yep.
And then you can go and download the recipe to your Paprika app.
And so, it does a kind of a stunningly good job. If you're on a site, a blog or whatever, I do this all the time, and I bet you do too. Yesterday I wanted to cook oatmeal cookies, but I wanted to do it with – I didn't have rolled oats. I only had Scottish, you know, the steel-cut oatmeal. Mm-hmm. And so I had to look up on the web steel-cut oatmeal cookie recipes. And they're on the website, and they're very – you know, it's a mess. People don't format in any particular way on a website. But I was easily able to – go there in the Paprika browser and just say save, download and save the recipe.
Skip all of that.
And it makes perfect, just like you're seeing right there. It gets the picture. It gets the source. It puts the ingredients on the left. It understands ingredients well enough that you can put them in a shopping list. This is such an amazing program.
And that means you can scale and convert them too.
Yes.
So that I love as well if you're wanting to make more. So for example, I made this. I haven't done it in a while, but I'm planning on making this again. It's a triple chocolate mousse cake. And what I love about it is, and I made it gluten-free, of course, but what I love about it is that it is not incredibly sweet. I don't like to have a whole lot of sugar. And when you'd think that like a very, very, very chocolatey thing would be super, super sweet, but it's not. It has this great chocolate ganache on top that's nice. It hardens. There's a mousse in the middle, and then there's this delicious chocolate cake underneath some coffee granules in it that adds a little bit to the flavor of just a little bit more bitter almost, like a dark chocolate. Oh, it's so good.
Can't wait to make it.
Can't oh, my God.
Let me demo how cleverly this takes any funky web page. So I found, it's a nice site, spoonfulofkindness.com, a recipe for steel-cut oats. But like most, so this really, what's nice is Paprika is adjusted to the modern way of cooking, which is you don't have you search online for a recipe, and when you find one, it's in a browser. But this is the last thing you want to do is have this web page up as you're trying to cook these cookies. There's so much extra stuff in here that it's not a useful recipe. But all you have to do, so I'm on the browser page. And by the way, I did the search within Paprika. I haven't even left it. You download the recipe, and it's really smart. Look at that. It extracted, it got the photo, it got the source, it got even info on prep time and cook time. It found the ingredients. It found the instructions. It extracted from this cuckoo website. It extracted exactly what I needed to know. It even got nutrition information, which it's calculated from the ingredients. And now all I have to do is save. And that is now in my recipe box. as a recipe, steel cut oats cookies. It says where I got it, so we're not, you know, taking away credit from Spoonful of Kindness. Plus, if you want more information, you can hit that link and go to it. And that is what you want. I don't care about reading Meal Master recipes or anything. I mean, yeah, if you have a bunch of Meal Master recipes, I guess. But most of the time, I think modern cooks, there's so many recipes online now, basically
an infinite source.
Just go and search, find the one you like, and then this thing will take it and put it in your card catalog. And it's there forever. You can print.
Yeah,
you can do all the stuff you want to do with it.
And it does that so nicely, too. The printed out version of the recipe card is very nice. The formatting is all great. The categorization and organizational features that are available for this, you could even say, you know, I want to make this triple chocolate mousse cake on Friday. So let me add that to my calendar for snacks on that day. And then it will, you know, give you an alert. Hey, when you go to the store, you're going to want to get these ingredients to make this item and make sure that you can do that. And then what's cool too is check it out. There are timers right within the app. So you can cook from this recipe and then also keep those timers right there. And like you said, the nice features of making sure that you have your grocery list planned out is super cool. And then you can also keep track of what's in your pantry. So that adds to the organization.
Paprika. 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 Everybody should buy this.
Should all get it.
Once you get the subscription, by the way, web as well as iPad as well as Android. So they have apps everywhere. So it's very frequently that I'll be looking at my computer, find a recipe, put it on my computer, and then it's automatically synced up. Once you have an account, it's automatically synced up to Paprika on your iPad. The iPad is a great cooking tool, you know, especially if you've got a nice stand for it. You can put it right there in the kitchen and cook with it. I love that. You know, it's not just your pantry you want to keep track of.
Right.
Your wine cellar can also be an important resource. I've looked and used a lot of different wine cellar cataloging programs. My favorite is called Corks, Corkz. And it actually ties into a very famous wine cellar website. So it, in a way, my Corks account is tied to my cellar account, and that way I can do it both on the web and locally. You can scan barcodes, which is really nice. You can take a picture of the bottle, all of that. I can't remember the website. Let me look it up. Cellar Tracker. So Corks is Cellar Tracker on the iPad. You can browse their wines. So this is really cool. You learn a lot about wine, countries, regions, varietals, but you can also have your cellar entered in here. And one of the things I really appreciate, so this has all of my 180 bottles in my cellar. I think that since I entered these, there are fewer now, but this has all of them. But what I love is once you've got them in, you will also have a drink soon category. Part of the problem of having a collection of wine is some of it's getting, you know, you're aging it, but some of it is ready to go. You don't want to overage it. So Drink Soon will actually go through my wine cellar and say, you know, you should probably drink this sooner than later because it's not going to get any better. Mostly these are whites, but here's a 2011 Pinot that, you know, it's been down for 9 years, probably a good time to drink that. So this is great. If I'm looking for something, truthfully, what you should do is drink this stuff first. Because this stuff is ready to go. And I find that very, very helpful.
Cool.
You can also, if you have ratings, you can also rate and know what your best wine is. This is absolutely my best wine, based not only on my ratings, but based on the name Chateau Léoville.
I was going to say Léoville.
Which is,
where'd you find that?
It's actually a well-known French Bordeaux, believe it or not, and Winston Churchill's favorite. Or one of his favorites anyway. So this is not based on my rating. This is based on Wine Spectator. Look, here's all the professional reviews. This is all pulled. I didn't enter any of this. This is all pulled.
Is it a red blend?
Sorry? Yes,
is it
it's red.
Blend?
It's a Bordeaux. It's a red Bordeaux. You can set drink dates. You can do all sorts. You keep track of, I have 3 bottles of it. Probably should drink that pretty soon. Here's my second best. a champagne. I don't think Lisa knows this is in the wine cellar, or she would have drunk this a long time ago. A 2002 Ruinart Champagne. Wow. I think we must have drunk that. I'm going to go look in my cellar to see. That's the only trick on this is you got to keep it up to date, right? Because as you drink wines. But this makes it very easy to say, drink it. I drank it. It's gone.
You could put NFC tags on the bottom of all of your wines, and then you could set it up so that every time you have one, you scan the bottom of that.
I didn't do that because that would be a lot of NFC tags. But I do have little collars with numbers, and every wine bottle has a number on it, and so it's very quick and easy to find that number. It also makes it easy to find the wine in the wine cellar.
True.
Yeah. So organizing your wine cellar is probably a good thing to do during this quarantine.
Just yes, all of you people out there with your wine cellars.
You might be tempted to drink it. You think that's a hoity-toity kind of a thing to have? It's not a, in my case, it's not a cellar, it's a closet.
So
yeah, we live in wine country.
Not as much, but certainly where I'm from, people who have wine cellars are the...
It's not a cellar because we don't have cellars in California. It's just a closet.
True. Your water closet.
My wine closet is next to my water closet.
Vino closet.
So I really like this. Corks, C-O-R-K-Z. It's from Cellar Tracker. The nice thing is Cellar Tracker is also a website, so you have access to it on the web as well. It's just their iPad version.
So do you like red? Like red
wines? I only drink red.
Oh,
actually,
see?
I should be
you
honest.
Know what good is.
I should be honest. Lisa only drinks red, and because of that, I mostly drink red. I actually do. There are some whites I love.
Like what?
Well,
Chardonnay?
I'm not a Chardonnay fan at all. I like a Semillon. A Viognier. I like the crisp whites, Sauvignon Blanc. But I don't really like the oaky Chardonnays.
I'm not typically a white wine drinker at all, but the New Zealand Sauve Blancs, I think, are quite good.
Yeah. And then Lisa and I do like the stickies, the sweet wines like Sauternes.
How can you do it?
Well, you have to have the right complement, like that delicious chocolate coffee cake you were talking about earlier.
Maybe that's what it takes.
Would be very nice. Very
and
nice
also,
with a
you
Madeira,
can't have,
perhaps.
What is it you said I had last time? The thing where you can't get joy from stuff.
Oh, you have anhedonia?
Yeah. You also can't have anhedonia. You can't have anhedonia. Like port wines.
So, Sauternes, which are white and very sweet, are great with, forgive me, Lord, foie gras. And then Lisa and I discovered when we were in Budapest, that is really a bad name drop, isn't it? when last time we were in Budapest, not the first time, the last time.
Exactly.
We discovered a fine wine, the wine of the royals called Tokaj, which is a very sweet, delicious. You know what? Next time you come over, which will be, a year or two. Next time you come over, we'll serve you a fine Tokaj. I think you'll enjoy.
I just can't have foie gras with it.
No, I won't let you have foie gras. No one can have it. Just Lisa. Good. And then, of course, my favorite white is Chateau d'Yquem. But that's so expensive. I only have it on very special occasions. I don't have any Chateau d'Yquem in my closet. What else do you have for organizational purposes?
Let's see. I've got an app. It's called Craft Docs. So Craft Docs is an app that is actually currently in beta. However, you can go and join the test flight beta. You head to craft.do and sign up there, and you can be a part of the test flight beta. So regardless of the fact that it's still in its beta, you are able to go and get it. And it is a bit Notion-like, but it is a sort of templatized way of creating documents. So let me show you with this example of meeting notes. So I've got here a document that's set up with a photo right here at the top. I can, of course, make adjustments to the photo. What I love is that it's got integration with Unsplash. Unsplash has, for the longest time, been my favorite website for getting stock photography because it's all offered with absolutely no requirements for crediting the photo for paying for it, no royalties, anything like that. It's just beautiful photography that's available in stock photos that are available for free. So with that integration, you know, you can set up your craft document however you want to. And then the way that it works is that it's actually got these little, what is the word I'm looking for? Not nodules, but,
nodes.
Nodes, thank you. Yes. So here we can add.
You don't want nodules, you do want nodes. So that's.
You want nodes, exactly. Good, yeah. So you can add media really easily. You can add a snippet of text, a file into it, and a sketch. But then if I go over to add text, there are ways that you can add text. So I can do, you know, adjustments to the formatting, of course. I can add a bulleted list. I can make adjustments to if I want this part to, you know, be a title, to be emboldened, to be a pull quote. And then I can also, whoops, I've already tapped on that one. I can also add a separator or things like that. So this lets you go in and create a document very easily. But then the way that it lets you make adjustments to the whole document at once is very cool. So I've swiped to the left in order to select areas of my document and say I want to pull those all out of this page, I can easily make adjustments by tapping organize and grouping those, ungrouping those, cutting them from this document. So we'll group those together and boom, now they are they're collapsed. Then I can tap into it and you can see those items. So it's a way to create a document very easily, but then to go in and make adjustments to the organization of the document as is needed. And again, it's currently in beta right now, but they're adding collaboration features so that multiple people can be in the same document at once. But I like this little node-based system of each of these individual entries is its own item that can then be adjusted and, you know, reformatted however you might want to be searched and found within the document. And then I also like, too, that it's got some built-in templates for, you know, setting up your own CV here, a project proposal, an update to send to the team, and a task list or a quick note that you might have for someone. And yeah, that is, we'll just do a blank document just so you can see my note.
So do you think this is better than Notion? Where would you use Notion? Where would you use this?
So this is not, this is what I see this as is more of a note-taking app,
yeah.
Whereas Notion is more of a like project management or data management system entirely. This is a more focused thing that I think does a very good job of letting you create notes that are easily organized and adjusted exactly as you see fit. Because that's one of the things is, you know, in a basic text editor, I have to swipe down and copy and cut and right. move things around. Exactly. This makes it very easy to drop in new items, new photos, and make adjustments to that. It works with Markdown, that kind of thing. So as a simple note taker that is easy to organize and manipulate each of the data points, that's what I think this is very good at doing, whereas some of the other kind of basic note takers might not have all that functionality.
How about Google Keep? How does this compare to Keep? It looks a lot like Keep.
I've never used Google Keep, yeah. Actually.
You should try Google Keep because it's similar. I suspect not as – it doesn't do Markdown, for instance. I don't know if it's as full-featured, but you know, it's Google, which means it'll probably be gone soon. So you might want to take a look at that.
No, I'll take a look at it rather later.
One last thing, because, you know, the very first thing I thought of when you said organizing is organizing my books. And there was a wonderful program for the Mac called Delicious Library that actually spawned a whole generation of beautiful programs for the Mac. It's kind of gone, long gone. There are copycats. But the truth is, just as we've replaced things like Menu Master with Paprika with more web-based tools, I think it's probably time to replace that old database of books that's local only with Goodreads, which is a social network around books that allows you to scan in the ISBN, you know, scan code and so forth. So you know, you can easily add books It'll actually, because it's owned by Amazon, it'll automatically import all your Amazon books, which saves time if you buy books at Amazon. But it does have a simple way of scanning in books. It has a very nice categorization system. Books I own, I've read, I want to read. You can have, you know, it's very satisfying when you've got a book to mark it finished. You can create shelves, which are categories of books. But the thing that makes this different than just a database is it has a whole social network involved. So I'm in the middle, for instance, of this book. So I'm going to update my progress. I haven't finished it yet. You can put in the page number you're in. And, you know, why would you want to do that? Well, it's really more for, I think, for the social aspect of it, right? It depends on how crazy you want to get about keeping track of things. But I think it's it has all the benefits, in other words, of a database. But once you go into a book, you can see the notes you've taken, the notes others have taken, a description of the book. This was all added. I bought this on Amazon, so I didn't even enter this. It automatically added it from Amazon. It automatically made it reading. It has the reviews. I guess they're Amazon reviews, but they're also Goodreads reviews. It has a preview if such is available. So I have to say, this is kind of the book database on steroids. Some people may say, no, I don't want to have this be public. And of course, you can have your account be private. But I think the real value of this is the sharing. You know, people follow me. I follow other people. I'm always looking for new books to read. And so this is a very handy way to do that with the recommendations from friends. They even have challenges. So, for instance, they have the 2020 Reading Challenge. Tell us how many books you want to read. We'll help you stay on track. Goodreads, you know, I've had up and down experiences with it. I joined it very early on. Amazon bought it. And slowly Amazon has added some of the features that I think it really required. These are not books I own. These are books that are popular. So again, if you're looking for recommendations or what's my next book going to be, this is a great way to do it. And if you follow people as I have, you can see what they're reading, which is really nice. It thinks I'm currently reading Wolf Hall, but then it recommends a actual biography of the real Thomas Cromwell, which would be a great thing to get. And I can now add that to my list as either want to read, currently reading, or have read. Maybe I'll add that to my want to read list. Having that on your want to read list, it's just kind of like your wish list, reminds you of books that you want to read. Like science fiction, you can see there's a science fiction category. You can see what's trending this week in science fiction, fantasy, historical fiction, I'm a big fan of. So this is kind of the book database that we always wanted. The quick, you know, it's very easy to add a book. You can search for it. You can scan the cover. I should try that with one of my more obscure books. Or you can get it from Amazon. So I think this is a really nice way to keep track of your books, keep track of your library. One of these days, I have so many books, I would like to go through them all and scan them all in. Add them to the database. It would be kind of nice to do that, because the problem is I have half my collections here, half of it's at home. I don't know where books are. I spend a lot of time saying, I know I have that book, but where is it?
Especially after we had that bookstore near work close down and all of those books that everybody found.
You have a whole new library.
It just makes me think about, you know, wanting to have my own personal collection of books organized.
Wait till you stop moving around.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing about books, records, CDs, DVDs is moving them. So having a big collection, it's lovely to have a room full of books. It makes me feel happy, but it's a lot to move them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Goodreads, highly recommend.
Awesome. Well, I think it's time for a break before we get to the news. I
want to welcome a brand new sponsor. I don't know if you noticed earlier. I have my Raycons. Did you see these?
Nice. Yeah.
You know, I have two sets of Raycons. They have the professional Raycons. And then I got the everyday Raycons, which are a little less expensive. These are wireless earbuds from Raycon, Ray J's company, of course. And they start about half the price of the other premium wireless earbuds on the market. And frankly, they sound just as good. I've said this many times. There's a lot of markup in Apple's AirPods and AirPod Pros and all of these. There's a lot of profit in these. And I admire Ray J. He said, you know, I bet we can make great headphones for less. And he's done it. These are the Everyday E25 earbuds. And I have to say, they sound fantastic. 6 hours of playtime out of the case. And you put them in the case and they charge. I always keep the case charging so that when I put them in the case, when I'm done listening, I put them in the case. I love it. They come with a large set of ear tips so you can find the one that fits for you. That's really important with these kinds of earbuds. I wish Apple would do it with their AirPods. They don't have sizing. So for a lot of people, it's too big or it's uncomfortable or it falls out. With these nice soft rubber tips, so you can easily change these, as I did, to fit. I made them slightly larger. I guess my ear hole's big. And I'll tell you what, you want to get the right fit because the bass sounds fantastic when you get that seal right. These really, you feel them as much as you do hear them. And the compact design is really fantastic. There's plenty of battery life in this small little earbud. They're very comfortable. They're great for conference calls. Yes, you can use them for phones and conference calls.
Seamless Bluetooth pairing.
They're stylish. Now, they come in different colors. Of course, I chose the red. I think you wanted the white. There's also black and other colors. Mm-hmm. They're discreet. There's no wires.
I noticed they're so small.
Yeah.
So
well, nice. Shall I put them in so you can see them?
Yeah, let's see what they look
I think when
like.
I put them in, you'll realize, even though these are the bright red ones, you don't. And by the way, oh, I love how they seal. So this really, I don't hear anything.
Wow.
The red ones are going to be a little bit more obvious. I can't hear
but
you.
But even if still, it's just
me,
a little earworm. Yeah.
Don't.
I know he can't hear me, but.
But I am hearing some fine music right now. Let me put these away. Snoop Dogg, Cardi B, Melissa Etheridge, J.R. Smith, they all use their Raycons and love them. I just think this looks beautiful. It fits perfectly, and it costs a lot less, than the high-priced brand, but sounds every bit as good, maybe even a little bit better. We're going to make you an even better deal right now. You can get 15% off your order. 15% off? Now they're even more affordable. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Go to buyraycon.com/iOS. 15% off. I love it when our sponsors give us deals that we can pass along to you, and that's a really great deal. buyraycon.com/iOS, 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. The Everyday E25 earbuds at buyraycon.com/iOS. Thank you, Ray J. Really appreciate your support for the podcast. And I think you're going to like it. Welcome, iOS Today listeners. Buy Raycon. .com/iOS.
Gotta love supporting a black-owned business.
Yeah. Too. Ray J's great. I don't know Ray J personally, but I gotta say, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Right? To be able to support
a musician doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. Well done, Ray. Or I should say Ray J. I don't know him that well. Only his best friends can call him Ray. Thank you, Raycon. Back to the show we go.
All righty. Let's see. What do we have? What do we have in the news? Up first, Apple did announce that by 2030, the company wants to make its supply chain and products 100% carbon neutral.
Oh, yeah. Good job, Apple. Way ahead of the guidelines. So that's great.
Yeah. So this, of course, a lot of the company itself is already carbon neutral, but the other parts of the business, the manufacturing and all of those parts of the business are not. So that is kind of their next goal, the company's next goal to do even better, which includes investments. It says the U.S.-China Green Fund is going to invest $100 million in accelerated energy efficiency projects for Apple suppliers with a partnership with Apple. There are going to be lots of different – they lay out in this blog post kind of all of the stuff that they're wanting to do to reduce the carbon footprint, to improve upon its processes so that there's, you know, low carbon aluminum, carbon free aluminum, which is apparently a very new process. It says the first ever direct carbon free aluminum smelting process. That's very cool. And new solar arrays and things like that. So quite a few different changes being made to add renewable energy sources and expand on their energy efficiency processes in order to go 100% carbon neutral by 2030. That's just 10 years away.
Nice. Well done.
Now I'm curious, have you ever used Apple Business Chat, Leo?
What the hell is that? Sounds
okay,
boring.
It's not. So Apple Business Chat is a way for companies to have conversations with customers through iMessage. And so it essentially gives you a way to text a business, kind of like you would do online chat with AT&T or, you know, a carrier or Amazon or one of those places. Apple Business Chat lets you just from the Messages app have a conversation with a business, and it keeps a private conversation going on where it doesn't share your phone number, they, you know, not back and forth and things like that. And it uses the iMessage service so that you can see when a message is delivered, is when a, you know, when it's read and things like that. So Apple has been using this process for a long time. In fact, the way that I had to set up my, when my AirPods Pro was doing the horrible tinkle tinkle sound, I had to set up a conversation with an Apple representative.
Incidentally, no tinkle tinkle sound.
No tinkle
in the Raycons. Exactly. Just another nice selling point. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so it said, you know, start a chat, and it popped up in the Messages app, and I, you know, had the conversation with them there. So Apple Business Chat, probably the reason why you haven't heard about it is because the technology has been in beta for quite some time. It was introduced in 2018 and has been in beta. Apple and Zendesk have gathered to make it so that it is no longer in beta. There's general availability. So customers who use Zendesk, which are quite a few online retailers and things like that, will be able to integrate Business Chat. So it just means that it's going to be easier for iOS users to speak with representatives of certain retailers. Nice. And things like that. Yeah. With Apple's technology.
And we should mention Zendesk is a sponsor of the Twit Network.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I want to do a real quick correction because Chatroom has told me while Delicious Library is not available on iOS, it is still available on macOS. It's in the App Store, $40. So it is considered to be the most beautiful book library. It has for years. I think it's not aged well because those nice wooden bookshelves are very skeuomorphic and we've kind of gotten away from that. But it's still prettier than Goodreads, which is not exactly a gorgeous app. So if you can get a trial at the website for Delicious Library from delicious-monster.com. So I didn't mean to prematurely destroy that company. They're still around. 16
we're
years
still
and
here.
Still going, yeah.
Please, we're still here. Then there is, sorry, I'm trying to pull it up so that I can talk about it while I open it. And if you are looking for an alternative to the iPad keyboard, Logitech has the new Folio Touch for iPad Pro out. It is a backlit. It has a backlit keyboard, which is cool, and uses the smart connector for the iPad Pro. So you're not, you know, plugging in anything extra, and it's not Bluetooth, so you don't have to worry about that. So it'll be powered by your iPad. It also looks like it offers more protection for the iPad Pro than the standard Apple keyboard does. It sort of wraps around the outside of the iPad, and it's got that easel style of positioning, so you can lay down your iPad like so. It comes with a trackpad and keyboard, And yeah, it's got multiple ways. I've honestly been eyeballing this because I like the different means of positioning it. So you can have it in that media view, you can lay it down in easel format, or you can use it with the keyboard. Or lay it entirely flat, which is something else that Apple's keyboard is not able to do. Oh, and did I mention it has function keys too? There's something else that the Apple keyboard doesn't do. So honestly, this is looking like a good option. Yeah.
How much?
$160.
It's also a lot less than the Apple.
A lot less money.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see how well the trackpad works, because that has been the place where Apple has kind of stood out, which makes sense. But yeah, the fact that it's got a backlit keyboard, that it works with the smart connector, and that it has the full row of function keys. Honestly, I'm kind of digging it. There's type mode, view mode, sketch mode, and read mode.
It is not a Bluetooth device. It actually is
correct.
Interesting. It uses the smart keyboard. So that's a smart connector. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. That was the only drawback in the previous iterations of the Logitech keyboards, I should say.
Right.
Because the Magic keyboard starts at what, 200-300, right? So it's almost half as much.
And check it out. It's got a storage spot for the Apple Pencil.
Oh, now how much would you pay?
See.
Oh.
Mansky.
Do you want to get one for review?
Yeah, I think I do.
I think you better.
I'll have to pre-order it. Still in
some not available. Although, okay.
Might be able to reach out to somebody and see if we can't get a little sooner.
Ask Lori Gill. She seems to have a good connection with Logitech. She gets all that stuff ahead of time.
You know she's going to be. She's probably already got
she's
it.
She's already got
right
one. Way. I guarantee you. The Folio Touch for iPad Pro.
Yeah.
Wow, nice.
Very cool. And then next, I mean, we can't not talk about new emoji when there are new emoji.
There are new emoji. The new emoji's in town. I'm so
new
excited. And are they pretty? Well, if you like lungs.
If you like lungs and like hearts.
You'll love the new emoji.
You're going to love these new
emoji.
Those
are really anatomical.
Yeah, check that heart. That is.
Boom, boom.
Ooh, that is a heart.
Boom, boom. And the beaver. I think we've been waiting for a beaver emoji for a long time. So
yeah,
if you put that together with a ninja, you got a scare. Oh, and look, the crazy one quarter.
They should make that.
Not useful for not cannot be used for American money.
A pinata, tamale. Nice. Russian nesting doll, which is cool. And dodo bird.
We talked about this a little bit on Twit. Compare that tamale, which is a nice tamale. It's not how I make my tamales, but okay. At least it's got a filling that looks like something. Compare that one. Scroll up on the page because you're on the Emojipedia post. The other way. That's down. I don't know. What do I know? You got the Apple page. So Google also did the tamale, but theirs looks like it's got boba in it. I don't like Google's.
It's ugly.
Do they have the Google
one?
These
are the
on
ones
there?
That are available so far.
Yeah, the Google one's not good. Google has also brought back the turtle. I don't know. Do we get a turtle from Apple?
Turtle. I don't know.
Anyway, the new emoji are here. Woohoo!
Yeah, yay!
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Yay! Awesome. Woo-hoo. I don't see the Google tamale emoji.
Oh, I can find it for you. I think it was in the Emojipedia article. That's all right. I don't want to have to launch my web browser and go there and all that stuff. Just go ahead. I don't care. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, who cares?
No, when do we get these? Is this iOS 14? Is that it?
Yeah, so this should come with iOS 14.
Okay.
I found it. Good golly, what a weird looking
thing. I think
thing.
They blew it on the tamale. It doesn't look like something I'd want to eat. What is in there? Chocolate malts?
Malt balls?
Acorns? God. What is it? I don't know. But it doesn't look like anything that belongs in a tamale. Google's artists seem challenged.
What is this one?
Like, Yeah, like that, the hugging one. It's just two blue blobs, jelly blobs hugging. What about the one in the upper left? What is that? Is that exploding? No, not the wood log. That one. What is that?
That's the ta-da. That's always been there. That's not new.
That's not new.
I don't know if they redesigned it. So that's what's new about it. But yeah, if you go into Slack and you hit colon,
oh, you'll get that way. That's the one. Is it wedding bells? Is it exploding? I don't know what it is.
It's supposed to be a party popper.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. It's a cracker. Yeah. And then the turtle, which, you know, I'm sorry, but where's the ears?
Do turtles have ears?
I'm just teasing.
Okay, I was going to say.
I want to start a new Twitter outrage meme. How can you draw a turtle without ears?
You should do that. I'll retweet it.
There's no ears on that turtle. And then just wait as people, thousands by the thousands, say, Leo, turtles don't have ears.
Apple already has a turtle. So I think Google probably just redesigned their turtle.
Yeah.
I think that's already one that exists. Yeah. All right. Why doesn't this turtle have ears, though?
Yeah. I think that, you know, we got to write Apple.
But they won't hear us because they don't have ears.
They don't have ears in their turtles. Darn it.
Oh, boy. And then Mario Kart Tour. I thought you'd want to know about this.
I like Mario Kart.
Realize
because I can't lose. I always come in first.
Exactly.
They probably fixed that by now.
It's only had portrait mode up to this point.
Oh, now, I hate that. That's so lame.
A year after its launch, it's gotten landscape
mode. I'm sorry, not lame. It's pathetic. It's not lame. It's pathetic.
Super pathetic.
I shouldn't use that phrase anymore. You know, it's funny how those things hang over from your childhood. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to say that it's disabled in any way. It's just pathetic.
It is. It was pathetic that it only had portrait mode.
That only have that portrait mode. Although I have to say my app cap is only in portrait mode as well.
But now, Leo, you can play Mario Kart Tour and win in landscape mode.
As you should.
Yes.
As rightly so.
In fact, they're so happy about it that they've added it to the app preview section to let you know you can race in portrait or landscape, your choice.
Micah, you're so sweet. You sent me your recipe for the cake you've never made.
I swear you will someday. No, I'm going to go to my Instagram right now and send you a photo of me having made that cake.
Oh, you have made it. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was just saying I haven't made it in a while and I wanted to make it again.
I just want
you to know.
Because
it's very good, but not too sweet.
How I know that. It came through on my Mint Mobile phone.
Nice.
I love my Mint Mobile. Mint, if you're still using one of the big wireless providers, have you ever asked yourself why they're so expensive? They are. They're more expensive than they need to be because you're paying for the stores, you're paying for the Magenta automobiles or whatever it is that they spend their money on. Mint Mobile doesn't have, there's no foxy green automobiles driving around. No, Mint Mobile saves on all retail locations and overhead and then passes those savings directly on to you. It makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to as little as $15 a month. I'm paying around between $80 and $90 with almost every other carrier for service that costs me less than a third as much on Mint Mobile. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. They're running on the T-Mobile network, so it's great. I mean, it's the same service I get with T-Mobile. But with Mint Mobile, stop paying for that crazy unlimited data you'll never use, and it isn't really unlimited. You can choose between plans with 3, 8, or 12 gigabytes. It's 4G LTE data, same data speed you'd get with any other guy. You can use your own phone or they have great deals. This is the iPhone SE. They have a great deal on the iPhone SE. When you put the iPhone SE together with a $15 a month plan, you're paying $30 a month, including the phone. Use your own phone. Keep your phone number if you want. All your existing contacts, they sell phones too. Ditch your wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile. I did the $15 a month introductory plan, and then I liked it so much I said, what else? So I got the full data spread, 12 gigs a month, which I never go through even. But you know me, I like to have a lot. Unlimited talk, unlimited text nationwide. And the total was $300 a year. I bought a year's worth. $300 a year, $25 a month. If you're paying more than that, it's nuts. Get your new wireless plan. Start with the introductory plan. Why not? $15 a month. That's the 3-month introductory plan, and they'll ship the SIM to your door for free, or you'll get the new phone there. They have phones too. Mintmobile.com/iOS. Mintmobile.com/iOS. Cut your wireless bill down to $15 a month with their 3-month introductory plan. It's such a great deal. Mintmobile.com/iOS. Thank you, Mint Mobile, for supporting the show. We appreciate it.
We do appreciate
questions. Questions.
Yeah, so I've actually got two bits of follow up this week.
It's,
two bits of follow up.
Quite that, nice. You need a shave and a haircut.
Exactly.
Thank you for the thank you for the laugh. I didn't deserve it, but thank you.
You know what? I'm always about the dad jokes. So first up, follow up from Paul. Says, hi, guys. Firstly,
hi, Paul.
Everything you by the way, Paul is the one who I believe last week asked us, how in God's name can I download the iOS 14 beta profile so that I can install iOS 14 public beta on my phone? And we gave him some suggestions of things to try. And here is a response. Hi, guys. Firstly, everything you suggested, I tried. I even contacted Apple support, but they were unhelpful. So I downloaded Firefox Focus and tried again, and voila, it worked. So this appears to be some sort of specific Safari issue, which remains unsolved. So folks out there, if you are trying to install the public beta and you go to the proper page, I believe it's beta.apple.com, and you run into an issue when you get to the part where it says download this profile, when you tap on it and then it says this must be installed on an iOS device and you can't download it for some reason, then you might try opening the page in a different browser, Chrome, Firefox Focus, Brave, et cetera, and give it a go there, because for Paul that worked. So if you want to get it on the public beta, who knows why? God only knows.
That's hysterical.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, Focus is the privacy browser that, like, is that's so bizarre that that worked. All right.
I know. Yeah, I don't get it.
He had
I don't
some
know what
cookie
happened.
Set in his
there was
Safari,
some cookie
probably.
That said this is not an iOS device for some
Isn't
reason. And then it bonked.
Good tip.
It. Yeah, very good tip. And then, Leo, if you could pull up this YouTube video for me. This is from David in Kansas City.
Oh, I love it when you send YouTube videos.
Yeah. So David says... and let me read the text before you play the video.
Okay.
So David says, I wanted to respond to Jeremy's question from last week's iOS Today. Jeremy asked, is there a way for me to change watch faces based on my location? Well, it is possible to use shortcuts to have your watch automatically change its face when leaving or arriving at a particular location.
Oh, that's so cool.
I had no idea
about
this.
No idea.
I had no idea. And so David in Kansas City has helpfully recorded a screen showing how you go about this process. So roll that beautiful bean footage.
There you go.
You launch the Shortcuts app, choose automations, choose personal automations, and then create one based on location. Nice, David, blocked out your location. And then, of course, anytime you arrive at that location, add the following action, which would be set watch face.
So that's the key, is that there is a set watch face shortcut.
On shortcut, exactly.
Yeah,
and then it shows you all the different faces that you have saved. You choose
so
one.
Great.
And then you can tap next.
Oh, I'm going to do that.
Boom.
And then
isn't
you get
great?
A list of other videos you can watch. Oh, no, that's YouTube.
That's just YouTube. Bah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool.
So,
really cool.
Very cool. David in Kansas City, thank you for writing in with that bit of feedback. And now I've got even more things to try in my in shortcuts, for sure.
You know what you could try right now?
Putting on a hat.
Putting on a hat. It's time for our app caps. We wear these hats to signify our membership in the resistance. No. We wear these caps to signify... the app of the week. Now, I think this one has Morse code on it.
Ooh.
Yeah. I thought it was the R2-D2 hat, but I think it's...
dash, dash, dot.
It's Morse code, but reading from left to right, dot, dash, dash, dot, dot, dash, dash. So take...
There you go.
Read into that what you may.
You heard it here first, folks.
No idea what that is.
Dash, dash, dot.
Yeah.
You're wearing a tiger head. Did you shoot that tiger in your pajamas?
No.
Why he was wearing my pajamas, I'll never know.
Anyway.
App cap.
I'm really excited about this app. You may have heard about the app Facetune or InLight or some of those other apps. It's made by a company called Lightrix. Well, Lightrix has come out with a new app in this past month called QuickArt. And QuickArt, as its name suggests, is a way to create art
quickly
from your photos
quickly
with just one tap. There are a lot of apps out there that claim to do this, and I was kind of like, I don't know, but I started to play around with this and I was really impressed with it. So I'm going to show you some of the, they've got some that are featured here, like dispersion that sort of takes your photo and splashes it out to the side, split colors, which can give a cool effect, some double exposure stuff. But then there are some like, where is it? It's in scene. No, it's in portrait, like wraparound, which I think is a very cool feature where we would take a photo and you can see that I've already got some here. So I'm just going to show you ones that I already did, including this one of me. Oh, it's probably going to try to add another ribbon to it. Yeah. So let me kick this off to the side for a second. Now that's what we'll do. We'll just long press on the image. So
that's
you can
cool.
see. Yeah. So I took this photo that originally didn't have this golden ribbon around it.
So that's a real photo.
Yeah, that's a real photo of me at the Golden Gate
nice
Bridge.
Nice photo, by the way. Whoever took that, that's
my
cool.
mama took that one.
That's great. What an
and
eye.
Then with just a tap, I was able to add that ribbon to the photo. Now, of course, it's added another one because it's trying to guess what's there.
Right.
I'm going to go back again.
I like how the ribbon is climbing the Golden Gate Bridge. That's hysterical.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of the best way to do this because, like I said, I've already got photos that are done with the feature already on it. I know what I can do. So let me just change the device that I'm using here because it will save your photos as you make adjustments to them. And so then you can have them saved in your creations. So let me switch to the iPhone setup here. And that's the other iPhone. So let's go to Sutton. There we go. All right. So then this is one that I did of my mom. So again, taken at the bridge again, but then I've added this ribbon around the outside of her. And this one here where the original photo had... That's unfortunate. I was
hoping
cool
that
I could...
It'd be cool if you could put a tiger hat on people in that program.
That would be cool. What I was hoping I would be able to do is adjust the photo so you could see the original, but it only just lets me save and share, so I can't make adjustments to ones that are already done. So let me switch back then to the iPad, and we'll take a photo that is already made, and I'll do a scene with it. So let's see. I kind of like this duotone effect. So let me find a photo here. Lots of photos of me drinking water. Let's see. We'll take this turkey hat version of me. So it finds the parts of the photo that are me and the parts of the photo that aren't, and it adds a cool duotone
effect.
So it knows
the difference. And it thinks the microphone's not you, even though it is in fact attached to your body at all times.
Right, which is very strange.
People don't know Micah has a microphone hand. That's why they call him Micah. When he was born, he had a microphone for a hand, and his mama said, "I shall name him Micah."
It's true.
Yeah.
All of it. And then this is the cool part. If you're using an iPad like I am, and you've got your Apple Pencil, which I have misplaced, so in this case I don't, but if you did... You can go in and make subtle adjustments to this feature. So you see that it actually kicked out that leg of the turkey.
Yeah.
I can go in, I can zoom in, and then add the turkey leg to the rest of the effect. So I'll go in and make those light adjustments. And then while I'm here, I can start to sort of check. Oh, see, it gathered more than I wanted here.
Too much turkey leg.
Too much turkey leg.
It's not good. Yeah.
what I love is that it does a really good job of sort of picking out the front and back in the first place. So you really can just do one tap, but I'm picky. And so I want it to be as perfect as possible. So I'm going in and making these adjustments.
It's a perfect turkey leg.
Exactly. And then we'll do this one here.
Oh, this is pretty cool that you can do this, actually. That's really cool.
Yeah, so I can make the adjustment exactly as I want, as I see fit.
Wow. I bet you were really good at coloring in school.
It was so boring. I hated coloring.
But you're good at it. Even if it's boring, if you're good at something, you should do it, even if it bores you to tears. That's the rule. Didn't you know that?
I didn't know that rule.
Yeah.
Thank God I didn't listen to that.
Now he's wearing a turkey hat instead of a tiger hat. Oh, we got to fix the...
We'll add the rest of my chest to the photo.
Yeah. And of course, your microphone hand. There you go.
I'm going to leave.
Gotta clean that up.
I'm going to leave the microphone in because I think that it's good to have it as part of the foreground. And then we'll go back. And then now you can see all of the turkey
is
there.
Raining men. Or I don't know what it is. What's coming? Oh, now it's snowing. Raining. Yeah. Snowing.
Bubbles.
Bubbles. Do you have to be red if you have the bubbles? Like, is the background color?
Yeah, the background color and those are attached.
Okay.
Which, yeah, that's unfortunate. But you could go into, you could pull this into, you know, Photoshop Express and adjust the hue if you wanted to afterward. But then now this is done, I can export it as directly to Instagram or Facebook. Or in this case, I'm just going to save it to my photo library. I go back to the main screen. And then I could do another effect if I wanted to. And I'll just show one more here, which is this dispersion effect that I think is kind of cool. And I actually took a photo from when I was on the Balclutha. And that is a ship in San Francisco.
So cool.
And I've added this sort of dispersion effect behind me. But then if I wanted to, I could add more.
It was windy on the Balclutha that day.
So, Wendy, I blew away. Yeah, so this is a really neat app. They add new effects all the time.
I should get that.
Yeah, it's just fun to take some photos that you already have and add some stuff to them. Oh, I even have, I took a photo, a mask photo of mine. Let's see. And added that effect to it. Where did that go? Oh, yeah, here it is. So this one... who knows why? It doesn't necessarily make sense, but I think that it's really cool how you could do these double exposure effects. So that mask profile photo of mine now has this interesting waterfall in the background. You can make adjustments to it however you see fit. And like I said, erase or add to it.
That's a cool effect. I really like that.
Yeah. So that, folks, is Quick Art. You can download it for free. It has a subscription tied to it. I think it's $6 a month if you want to continue to use the features.
Oh, man. They always get you that way, don't they?
Here's the thing. So someone on Twitter kind of responded to me about that, and I said, here's what you do. You download it.
Yeah.
You use it for a month.
Yeah.
With all the photos you already have.
Yeah.
You cancel the subscription.
Yeah.
And then you wait until you've taken a whole bunch of new photos, and then you get it again. So you're only paying $6 like once a year at most to have all of these fun things that you can do.
You're so smart.
That is Quick Art by Light Tricks.
What have you got for me? I have an adventure game where you play an avocado.
Ah, an alligator pear.
An alligator pear, a.k.a. an avocado. This is called Avo. And the reason I picked it is because it's kind of innovative and interesting. And it uses the Apple Pencil in a unique and unusual way. Let's get the sound on here because I'm going to start at the beginning so that you can get a sense of this. This is the real world mixed with the animated world.
I already love it.
I knew you would. That's why I picked it.
Hi there. I'm Billy. And this is my colleague, my hero, and my best friend. Avo.
So they've animated these. Isn't that cute? It's an animated avocado in the real world.
You can move Avo by drawing lines like this.
This is so innovative.
Hey, try moving Avo over to this blue flask here.
So now I'm gonna draw a line.
No way.
And Avo is going to move. Well, okay, perfect. Didn't do the loop-de-loop.
You're about to go on such an adventure. There's science, there's teleportation, there's fruit, there's bad guys, there's time travel, and you'll be the first person to finally discover the truth behind... I don't want to ruin the ending for you. Hey, before you get started, I want to give you something. Come over here.
Isn't that funny?
It's so cute.
It's actually quite clever. And I will show you after.
I've saved these for you. They'll be critical on your journey, so make sure to pick them up wherever you find them.
Making of video of this. Oh, now I have to go walk around and pick up jelly beans.
1,000 beans.
Yeah. I got a lot of beans. Oops. Got to pick up some more here. You don't have to use a pencil, obviously. You can use your fingers.
Okay, you're ready now.
It's a little more accurate.
Good luck.
With the pencil.
And I'll see you soon.
Kiss the avocado, oh please. God. Oh, man. That's the only thing I find disappointing. All right. Shall we play the next episode?
Yes.
All right. Now that we know how to play. Here's Avo, our little alligator pair. He's in a scientific laboratory. We're ready to play. Use your finger to draw lines from Avo to make him walk around. So, whoa. Let's get some beans, some magic beans. Wait, what's those glasses for? I want to see what those glasses are for. You found a bean. Tap on this bubble to interact with this item. So I can pick up these glasses. You found an
disco.
Item. Disco. Oh, disco glasses. It's only 1,000 beans. Should I buy it?
Oh, my God.
Or should I buy a hat?
A wizard hat? Is that a wizard hat?
Cowboy hat, bowler, tiara. There is a wizard hat, but that takes 3,000 beans. And then I have to unlock some, too, right? And I should save some beans because...
I was going to say, I don't know what beans are.
There's other stuff to get. A sombrero. So, all right, I'm going to buy the glasses because I think they want me to. The glasses have a disco theme. All right, that's my top. Okay, I'm going to buy it. Okay, that's on my top. Now, there's also bottoms.
Oh my God.
I can put them in a suit, but I need more beans to do that. But I have a feeling there's going to be plenty of beans to be had. So... continue without purchase.
Whoa,
yeah, there's 10,000 beans. Look around. There's 5 bonuses to be found. All right, shall we look around some more?
Let's see.
All right, so I have to walk over and get the bean. Okay. Get that bean. Oh, here's a yellow bean. Wonder what that is. Oh, that's a whole bunch of new beans. So you get the idea. It really is easier to do this with a pen. I think kids will like this, but I also think it's kind of fun. You know, it's kind of...
This is so cute.
There's stuff going on.
Right. So I have good news.
It's a little bit like Blue's Clues. That's why I think kids would like it.
The good news is that I've acquired the parts I need to complete my wireless power plant. I'm going to call her Mrs. Fusion.
I like it. There's a female protagonist. She's a scientist.
The bad news is that the power company's going to cut us off tonight.
She wears cool glasses.
With this invention, we won't need them anymore anyway, so it's double good news, really.
The acting is very good in this. It's very well done.
7 p.m. Perfect. We still have a few hours until...
The animation is seamless within it. I just feel like this is a completely innovative...
Impressed.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
This is all totally
And actually, it's
fine,
pretty
Abbott.
Fun.
I got this.
It's one of those one games, minute. Though, you want to pay attention to. You're not going to...
Right. It's not a, go...
You know, play this while you're watching TV kind of thing. This is TV.
It runs on rubbish, Abbott. Can you collect some from around the lab?
I need to collect some rubbish. Okay, so that sounds like... Oh, here's some rubbish. For sure. Yeah. Pick that up. Okay. Is that rubbish? Three bits of rubbish. That's the bent fork. He puts it in his avocado pocket. Where would you put it?
I didn't think about the avocado pocket.
Let's play some more. I'm going to go get that bean.
There's a blue bean.
Oh, the bean's leading me. The beans are leading me on, aren't they?
Oh, did you notice the shift in pitch whenever he went across the bridge?
Yes. Now, I wonder. Oh, I got him going in circles now. Oh. There we go. All right. What's this? Is this anything? Can I pick this rubbish up? No.
Oh, my gosh. She's looking over at you.
Well, he's... Isn't this kind of fun what they've done?
This is so fun. And what a unique idea.
I don't know what to do now, as usual.
It has some Toy Story vibes.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Because of these, the animated. And it's smart to do avocados because, frankly, an avocado doesn't have the uncanny valley problem.
Yeah, true.
Let me know if you see any trash. Whoa, oh. Super Bean. What is that? That looks like trash. What is that? So there's stuff I can't... I don't know. I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do with it. I guess I should just walk around it. Maybe I can't walk around it.
He's trying. What happened?
I seem to be stuck. Well, so much for that. It's a fun game. It's called Avo. Oh, there we go. I got around it. What does it say there?
Oh, you had the
I have to get right to the right spot, huh?
That's kind of...
Ah, now there. I got it. It's a rocket suit. Oh, but can I afford it? No. It's 10,000 beans. I have 275. Clearly, they're upselling me. Continue without purchase. I'm still looking for crumpled paper and a blown circuit, okay? Let's hustle through these beans. What? What's on my head? What happened to my disco glasses?
Yeah, I thought you bought the disco glasses.
I thought I did too. What do I got? I got something else.
Well, that's definitely a light on your head.
Yeah, oh, maybe because it's dark. She put a light. I thought I bought the disco glasses, but...
Like she has.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
There's a blown circuit. Let's get over there. Whoa, I got too close. Let's get a little... So this is a little annoying. You got to be in the
right. Yeah, it's a little touchy.
Yeah. Pick it up! I'm almost there, kids. So this is Avo. I don't suppose we should play much more, but oh, watch out. It's a bean spitter. That's what I'm going to call it. Pretty soon you get to the point where you just do these all at once, right, for extra speed. I'm on the edge. I think I have to go back to that bridge. Oh, boy.
Which way? Nice. Available for $3.99 in the App Store.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Now, one thing I'll show you that's kind of cool. If you go to the App Store right now, there is a making of Avo. Solve mysteries with an AR avocado. So if you're curious about how they did this augmented reality game, it's not. I don't know if it's really augmented reality because you're not looking through anything, but... they shot the scenes with a standard camera, took a 3D scan of the space, and then fused the two, which
was so
really cool. And by the way, that actress, Billy, is Katie Reese.
And Katie Reese is talking to nothing?
No, an actual avocado.
An avocado.
She says, my biggest challenge was the heavy script because Avo doesn't speak. We had a little stand-in Avo for my eye lines, and once I got the image of how Avo would be in my head, I could animate him with my imagination. For me, aww, he was there. So aww. Marvel comics writer Ryan North, comedy writer and performer Gemma Arrowsmith, came up with a story. And originally it was a ninja broccoli, then a slice of lime carrying a shot glass. But they finally settled on an avocado. They're going.
Can you buy the After Dark version? It's the shot glass.
That would be kind of fun. And it also says, up next, Playdio, which is the company that did this, presents a series of standalone episodes designed to explore the magical new creative opportunities in this technology. Avo That's is really cool. fun, and I highly
that
recommend
is super
it
cool.
As just a really neat way to interact with your iPad. As I said, you don't have to have a pencil, but the pencil works quite well with it, which is kind of neat.
I think I'm going to have to get this for Sebastian's nephew.
Yeah, I think kids would love it, but honestly,
I want to play.
I got engaged. I really thought, hey, this is pretty fun.
I was having fun just watching you play it. So, yeah, I'd like to play it.
You're in a real world, which is cool. There's kind of interesting adventures. AVO, and that is our show.
Nice rhyme.
Yes.
Dot, dot, dash, dot.
I got the flow, AVO. That is our show. Let's go.
Oh, apparently I've gotten AVO in the past, and I didn't even realize.
No? Yes?
I wonder why I got... Oh, I bet it was for the AR episode that I ended up not being able to be here for.
Oh, okay. It really isn't AR anyway, because you're not shooting anything through the camera. It's just really animated video and 3D graphics. That's all it is.
Spit it out.
It's nothing special, man. Nothing special. Okay. We are done for the day. I hope you enjoy iOS today. I hope you watch again next week. You can watch us do it live. We start around 9 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesdays. That's noon Eastern time, 1600 UTC. Just go to twit.tv/live. There's audio and video streams there all the time. There's always something streaming, but that's when we do the live show. And you're not watching the show exactly. You're watching the production of the show. So there's little interstitial bits that will be edited out, I hope.
Yeah, Kevin usually does a
He does
really
a great job,
job
cleaning it up. Kevin, who we don't know who it really is, but that's the name we use because all our editors are named Kevin. We do make an on-demand version of the show, as you might have intuited, because it is, in fact, a podcast using the original RSS as spec'd by Adam Curry, created by Dave Weiner and Aaron Schwartz. And RSS versions are available on the website at twit.tv/iOS. On YouTube, it's not RSS, but that's okay. It's still video. And if you want the RSS version, get a podcast catcher, some sort of podcast application that understands RSS feeds, and search for iOS Today or even Twit. You'll get the whole network, iOS Today, for this particular show. Subscribe, and then you don't have to think about RSS ever again. It'll just happen automatically every time there's a new show available. Thank you, Micah Sargent. Mike is also the host of Tech News Weekly and Smart Tech Today with Matthew Casinelli. Make sure you watch those shows because they're great.
Great.
I also host
some shows.
I should
be saying that, huh?
You are wearing the tiger hat, the Tony the Tiger
hat.
Right. I guess that's it for the day. Thank you, Micah, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you, Leo, and I'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Matt Pruitt, host at Twit TV. Got a question for you. Have you gotten tired of how bad your photos are looking every time you post them to Instagram? Better yet, have you gotten yourself a new camera and you can't quite figure out why the images just don't look that good? Well, I have a solution for you. It's my show, Hands On Photography. Each and every Thursday, I sit down and share different tips and tricks that are going to help make you a better photographer and a better post processor. So subscribe today at twit.tv/hop to learn more.